I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. On this edition, I talk with Brandon Rogers, the CEO of PacTech in Eugene. In the 1967 film The Graduate, there's a scene where recent college graduate Benjamin Braddock, played by Dustin Hoffman, is talking to various family and friends at a party, when one adult says he has one word for the young man.
Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir, you.
Plastics.
Plastic was considered the future for decades. Lightweight, durable, versatile, and cheap to make. The material became ubiquitous in our lives. But then we started to notice the damage it was doing to the environment. Wildlife stuck in six-pack holders, bags blowing in the wind in scenic places, and the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. But plastic production continues to increase, now topping 6 million tons a year in the U.S. alone. Talk of recycling plastics has largely been pie in the sky. Pre-pandemic, plastic was placed in empty cargo containers returning to China, where whether it was recycled or not was a bit nebulous. Much of that shipping ended at the start of this decade, and plastic we place in our recycling bins is often placed in the category of wish-cycled, items we think, or maybe hope, can end up somewhere besides the landfill. There is one place where that is true, however. The next time you buy a multi-pack of items from pasta jars to beer cans, take a look at the plastic that's holding it together. If you see the name PacTech, you're holding 100% recycled plastic. And it was given that second life in a nondescript factory in West Eugene. I recently headed to PacTech to learn how it churns out 100% recycled plastic multi-pack containers. I caught up with company CEO Brandon Rogers.
We've always prided ourselves on being a responsible plastics manufacturer by using number 2 HDPE. So these are your rigid ones. Most examples are your milk containers or your vitamin bottles or what have you, or typical items that you see in HDPE. And from our standpoint, we've chosen that material because it works for what we're doing. But again, the responsible side of it came into play in the early 2010s. 2012, we went live with using recycled, exclusively 100% recycled materials. And again, that was just the part where we're taking what's already out there in the world and giving it another life, another generation, recycling it and showing that recycling works. So we've been working exclusively through, it took a lot of work on the development of working through the materials so that we can use the right setup, that we can injection mold with, that's our conversion process, but also finding the sources. As you're well aware, there's been no shortage of challenges with the different headwinds on recycling, but we were looking for how do we create something? How do we create an outlet for this material that already exists that we can reuse and repurpose again and over again? So we've pulled that in. We're bringing in, we're looking at the rail cars out here. We're sitting on, almost 1 million pounds. We're running through 10 million milk containers a month that we repurpose into a next generation. So again, taking existing materials that are already out in the world and just giving them a place rather than landfill to be reused, repurposed.
You're newer to this company, but walk me through how it got to here.
So the company was founded by Jim Borg, and he basically started in the early 80s as a precision tool shop. And started the process of creating, precision in dyes and molds, and did that for many years. And then in the early 90s, had a local dairy came to him and said, "We had this idea where we want to take, these 2 gallons of milk, put them together, and sell them through the retail chains. And we need some help coming up with this multi-pack, the handle, so to speak, that holds these two together that gets them." Not only to the retailer, but across the scanner and then home for the consumer. And Jim worked hard, developed that handle, and then the method to manufacture it as well. So not only designing the handle, but how to manufacture this one, and created this one, and brought it forth to that dairy. The dairy was very appreciative of it. They pitched it to the retailers, and the retailers didn't quite pick up on it. But in that process, the dairy kept going to other channels, and specifically, club stores were coming online in the early 90s, and came up with one of them being Costco just up the road from us, and ultimately said, you know, that's a great idea. We can actually start to use this on a multitude of products that you see. And that's where we started to see traction picking up and going from there.
Walk me through where going from, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, virgin plastic to recycled plastic came into the process. When was it, you know what, let's see if we can give this stuff another life.
Yeah, as they were building up, you know, as it was scaling and the demand was going, and we're really a packaging solutions company, you know, that deals in multi-pack handles. So as we're scaling and bringing more and more products to market to help our customers, the businesses, get their products to market, you know, we started to see an opportunity to say, wow, we're really starting to consume a lot of material here. How do we do this differently? How do we be a responsible plastics company? What does that look like? How do we create an identity out of that? And about that time, we started to hear questions from a number of customers. Again, the businesses that were like, hey, what about recycled? And there were some options that were out there, but it was, you know, and typically those look like, hey, 15% recycled material, 25% recycled material, which are great. That's a start, step in the right direction. But it's, how do we go all the way there? So that drove us through the process of innovation to actually get to the point where, again, not only was it the use and design of the handles, the product themselves, but the method of manufacture was really the linchpin here that you had to solve for. So Jim and the team worked really hard to develop that, figure out how to take this. And again, the virgin plastics are very easy to mold. They're softer. They have what we call lower melt flows, different ways that make them easier to design, work with, and get finished products that are very, very user-friendly. The PCR recycled plastics have a little different characteristic to it. They're a little rougher, a little more challenging to work with, but yet workable. So we developed that process to injection mold these, and it hasn't been done. It's still, we're an industry leader in the use of 100% recycled, where others are achieving or arriving at, you know, again, 15-25%, but not hitting the 100%. And from us, it was to the point where we were able to create a very unique niche that was brand centric, and again, the right thing to do with the use of materials.
You know, over time, I have heard a lot of people who make products out of recycled goods refer to, well, there's kind of a green tax. It can be a little more expensive. Has that been the experience? Are you having to sell this as, hey, this is recycled plastic, you're doing good by going through us to get this product?
Absolutely. That's a great question. You know, from our standpoint, doing the right thing usually is the lowest cost option. So from our standpoint, we're looking at that one going, hey, it was a cultural move that we made, you know, over a decade a year, almost two decades ago, to start that consumption and make that conversion entirely. So one, it wasn't the cheapest resin. The virgin materials have always been available. Cost is usually cheaper on that front, as opposed to a recycling one. And again, there's some steps involved in that one, but it's reusing what's there. So, you know, there is a benefit where our market will compensate to some extent for the benefit of the recycled and the recyclable plastics side of it, as opposed to the virgin side of it. So we're always working a fine line there between how do we bring value to it. So a lot of it comes into the value engineering, the innovation side of it that we're looking for, to not only just, you know, be the 100% recycled and recyclable, but what do we bring the consumers? What do we bring our customers? The benefit there on top of that, with the ease of use, the application, the ability to innovate and scale with them. Those are ways that we can help them in addition to being sustainable.
Shall we go see this this process a little more in depth so we can see what it actually is?
Yeah.
Awesome. We'll head on that tour after a break. I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC.
I'm Barbara Dellenbach, host of KLCC's Oregon Grapevine. Some people are gifted with the art of customer service. Don Smythe is behind the counter at Eugene's Southside Post Office. He guides customers through a variety of needs with grace.
And I know a lot about a lot of my customers. And we don't stand there and chat for an hour. It's just to make that connection and get you what you need and let you leave with a smile on your face.
Helping customers with respect and a backstory on the latest Oregon Grapevine at KLCC.org.
We're back. I'm Zach Ziegler, and this is Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. My conversation with PacTech's Brandon Rogers continues now with a tour. I'm curious, when you're at the store, do you look at the you know, six pack, you know, holder or anything, you know, that's holding these things together to see if it's your company? And does that make you think a little harder about buying the product?
You have to. When you're proud of what you do, you have to. And your walk through retail is forever changed. And I hope the audience will see that too. When you start to see your retailer, your markets of choice, you know, all those ones that are around town and even your club stores too, when you walk through those and you'll start to look at these and go, wow, these were designed and manufactured right here in Eugene. And then again, where they go from there is around the globe. So we're proud of what we do. We're proud of how we take care of our customers and the business that we earn. One of the things that is the heart of the organization and it is cultural is just the people. The people make it what's happened. So we have roughly 300 people on our team. And again, that starts with the, you know, we'll go with the design team, you know, the precision tooling shop, the production team, logistics, accounting, sales, marketing. We have a robotics team that designs and manufactures robots for our use and also, you know, the application of our products at our customer's line. But that team is what makes this work. And it's always been a philosophy, and I really appreciate the Borg family for this, is, you know, we don't pay minimum wage. We pay significantly more for our entry-level positions. We give them a great healthcare package that is, we benchmark to high-tech, something that's not just, you know, hey, it gets us by, but actually takes care of our people, invests in their well-being, their family's well-being, give them a clean work environment, something that's light and bright. You know, gives them a reason, and we share the vision of why we're here, what we're looking to achieve, and the goal is that we create the excitement. We have well over 1,000 pallets of product that are in inventory now. Most of these are destined for a customer. They order, they called, said, hey, we need these. We've manufactured them. They're ready to ship. The other portion of them are ones that we carry to best support customers that have short lead times. More of those being the craft beer where they're saying, hey, do you have these in gold? Do you have these in white? And you bet we have those and we can drop ship those for you quickly. We're moving more to that model where how do we best serve those customers? And that's having the products that they need on hand sooner rather than later to shorten their lead times.
That can always be the tricky thing when, you know, you guys may be a pretty good size operation, but when your customer on the other end is a smaller operation, you got to try and be as nimble as they are.
And we have to earn that business every time where we get to the point where, you know, it's not just the one-off, that we're actually getting to the point where they can count on us. They know their packaging, you know, their packaging solutions are all covered here and we'll meet them where they need to be met. Going through here, we'll put on the earplugs as we head into the manufacturing area. We'll start with this one, just kind of a lay of the land before we get in there. We have our production spaces laid out in a temperature controlled space again, so it's helps make it consistent, you know, a more desirable workplace for our teams. We set these laid out with 400 ton presses going all the way up to 650 on one side, followed by 800 tons on the following side. And the process is such that these smaller, I'll start with a 400 ton machine, are gonna be the smaller, higher turn machine. So somebody has an order of a pallet. They need 30, 50, 80,000 parts. Well, great, we'll put it on the small machine. It'll run, it's a quick turnover for the next project. You know, when we move up to something that might be a larger order, in the hundreds of thousands of parts, we'll put these on the larger machines that are in the 600 ton range. Again, where these, once we get them set up, they run for longer periods. Once they're done with that run, it's a little bit longer changeover time. And then before we get those back online to make the next product. And then ultimately the larger machines are for the large, longer runs of project, where we start, we set them up, we run them for days on end, and then you know, take them down for some preventive maintenance and care along the way. So what we have going on here is you'll hear the robots zipping in and out of the machines as they're the only items that are going in and out of those work centers to keep the people safe and out of those. We have the employees and team members are actually taking the finished product and boxing it into a configuration that is optimized for pack out on the pallet, but also at the same time,
on the receiving end, that we don't have overly excess weight boxes or heavy boxes that can't be dealt with on our customer's end, so that they can take those and use those quickly. And then we put them on the pallets, they get wrapped up, and they head for the loading dock to make their way to the next step of the process. We talked about the innovation, this one right here. This is one of our newest work cells. It landed last Friday, it's already up and running. It's a 140,000 pound machine, 650 tons of production force. But it's a joint collaboration we made with the equipment manufacturer, where we started the go toward how do we get more energy efficient? How do we work towards something that uses less electricity? And this was the collaboration that we did. So that machine right now is clocking somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 40% more efficient than its sister machine right next to it right there, which is a great workhorse for us. And we've had many of them, but you know, the newer technology has some efficiencies that we're fortunate to be able to gain.
Yeah, you never know what's going on when you see that new machine roll out. It might be way more efficient with its electrical just because of how things have progressed over time.
Absolutely. And, you know, so much of this is built around the uptime, the durability of these machines and the equipment. You know, our customers don't account for the downtime on our end, so we don't have that planned in. We take care of the equipment. We do a very good job of making sure that when we get orders, we see those through. And that requires, you know, innovating and investing in new technologies to make sure we're leading the way on those. So this is actually the part where it gets back to the beginning of the story. This is the recycled materials, the pellets that we talked about, and the form they're coming in at. Again, it's a closed loop system for most of the manufacturing facility, but there is small portions where we have a small segment set aside. So this is the form it comes in on. Again, goes through the material piping that we have throughout the plant that moves the product to and from. And then it goes into the manufacturing process where it hits the colorant, the recipe, so to speak, and then goes through the injection molding.
It's amazing. These things like weigh almost nothing. You just feel them and it's, you can feel that there's something in your hand, but there's no weight to it.
Yeah. And again, that gets us some density. It gives them the ability that, again, the vacuum process of moving through the pipes, we can do that. You know, the other part I want to compliment is, as we're looking at a small batch here of resin, these are like marbles. They hit the floor and they would go everywhere, and yet you don't see them. That's something I'm super proud of our team for, is that, you know, the level that they've run this manufacturing facility, the cleanliness, because we service that food and beverage, you know, customer that is held to those high standards, we basically built this plant around the same standards that the food and beverage industry and our customers are held to, so that we can mirror their expectations.
Yeah, spilling these would be like when you accidentally like walk into your hotel room from your beach vacation and you've got sand on your feet. It would be that level of nightmare, I can imagine, if these spill.
And I just can't harp on that enough. You know, you look at this and they're not, we don't allow it to take place. Our team holds us to that standard. They're not here on the floor. They don't happen outside. It's a closed loop system. It's, you know, we're capturing everything here. I'm gonna slide next to you. We don't use much of it, we do have some of the virgin material just to look at it. I mean, a lot of this is we're always testing materials, and you know, this is the benchmark that, hey, it's virgin. This is what we want to get the recycle to operate as close to as possible. So we do have some of this, and you can see the contrast. I mean, you know, it's just pristine, whereas the recycled material, it's gone through a generation or two, four or five already. It has a little different history to it than the virgin material does.
You just mentioned, so even after it goes through this process, your product might come back to you again someday.
It very well could. And honestly, that would be the greatest compliment we could have, because it needs to be recycled. It needs to be recaptured. You know, our whole industry, our business is built around the recyclability. If we can't recycle it or recapture it, the feedstock disappears. We need that. We're looking to keep capturing this and reprocessing it again and again and again. That's the beauty of the material. You love it or hate it, the beauty of the material is if we do our part, recapture it and recycle it, it can be used over and over again. So you have the opportunity to see many, many different manufacturers. And in prior lives, I did as well. But this one comes back to, I have never seen a CNC precision tool shop where you could virtually eat off the floor. This is beautiful. It's pristine. And it's just, it's a compliment to the team here. And I mean, you can see over here, we're sheening metal and the flakes go everywhere, but yet they're not.
There is some like right around them, but boy, once it gets out, like you said, that cleanliness level, you can really see it. And you have to be doing that when you're making food grade product. Yeah.
So the fun part with this team here is we have this bank of offices on the right, and this is our design team. So when we go back to that early in the story where we were talking about the product comes in and says, we have these, we want to do this. This team is the team that is going to, you know, go through the measurements, the exact, you know, exact precision of, hey, it needs to perform in this manner. It needs to be able to do this and get around a certain cap or a bottle design or what have you that we're trying to grab onto and function perfectly. So they'll go through that design process and then hand it over to the team on the left. The bank of offices there is going to figure out, how do we manufacture it? Again, we're designing a product and a method of manufacture with every one of these. So that's where this precision tool shop comes into the precision cutting of the, what we call inserts, which are the parts that actually tell the machine what part to make with that injection process. So they'll go through a series of value add where we take the materials, cut it into inserts that are both an A and a B side, concave, convex, go through those once polish shows up, and get those ready to go out on the production floor to work the magic out there.
Basically just a clean slate of aluminum here that will eventually have something etched into it that once we go back over, or it'll go back over into the room that we were just in, that goes in the machine. Now plastic is being pressed into it. Bingo bango, that's what we're doing. Cool.
So this again is, I mean, I'm gonna use the term precision over and over and over again because we're working with microns, in our measurements, and the precision of having two pieces of machinery from an A side and a B side come together every, 10 seconds to create something that is only a couple microns thick, and do that with precision that we can make, millions a day, is not easy. It's very delicate. So when we have those inserts made, they come out here to this team, and this is our area where we have the tools ready to go. We have the mold bases ready to receive, so that when that customer calls and says, I need product in, the next week or next month, our team can schedule it, and then as necessary or when appropriate, pull the right tools, put the pieces together with that level of precision to make sure that we're manufacturing at a zero defect rate and making the precision that we hold ourselves accountable to.
Yeah, a little while ago I was in a screen printing shop and they held onto the screens for their most popular customers. Exact same thing.
Yeah, being ready to service the customer when they're ready. And again, these are the ones where we don't know when that next order will. We have a pretty good idea, but we need to be ready to get that manufactured and out the door to them when they need it so we can keep going. Their success is our success, and we cherish every one of those customers that we've earned. As we get over here, we have a number of different products. We talked about the resins, and the resins are going to be the common theme in this story. And we continue to innovate and trial different resin sources. And that may be, from a different market geographically. Again, these were where we can find the right resins, that have the right characteristics, the right properties, if you will, for our manufacturing process. But at the same time, trying different ones, whether it be ocean plastics that are recovered, whether it be, biodegradable ones, which, we've always worked with, but we have looked at those going, well, if I can't see it, is it really gone? Is that really solvent? And again, the mantra here is if we recapture it, we can repurpose it and recycle it and all those type things. The other ones we have is bio-based, plastics. We've trialed those over the years too, where we've been looking at different ones that are made from, corn or sugar and what have you. And it's all great product, but, the economies and the scale just aren't there to actually make those efficient. And the market only compensates for what the price or the value is of plastics. And in some of these cases, when it's two or three times what the comparable product is, the market's not going to go there. So it's early in that journey, but there's still possibility there. And we continue to explore it because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for showing me around today.
I appreciate the time. Thank you for reaching out, and we appreciate the opportunity to visit.
That was Brandon Rogers, the CEO of Eugene Recycled Plastics Manufacturer, PackTech. This has been Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. I'm Zach Ziegler. Thanks for listening.